to come, Sister Rebecca Shoemaker from over in Newcastle, Indiana. Have her come. And remember, our topic, or our, I guess our study has been for the last two camp meetings, what is it? Preparing for and understanding your call. All right? So, we're going to have her talk about her call, or calls, or whatever it might be.
Okay, let's have prayer. Dear God, we come to you tonight. We're very nervous. Please calm the nerves. Help us to get everything across. We want to speak to these youth. Thank you for the good services we've had. Thank you for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So first of all, I would like to start by saying I was raised right here in the same room, same youth room. It was a little different back then. It was turned the opposite way. But I had the privilege of being raised right here and being in this youth room and listening to many messages, just like you guys have been hearing. And I feel very privileged to have got to hear all those truths throughout the years. And so I want to tell you just a little bit about myself, just because most of you don't really know where it started. So first of all, I was raised here, and in 2004, or 2001, I graduated high school. 2004, I graduated college with a degree in sports medicine, neuromuscular therapy. And I thought that was what I was going to do. I didn't have any plans of being married, or I had backslidden for about a little over a year. And my dream was, my plan was to go work with like sports and sports medicine and that kind of a pursuit of life. And I thought that was what I was going to do. And little did I know during an August camp meeting that I was going to get back to God. And I'm so thankful that during that short time of being unsaved, that I didn't go out and scar up my life. I wasn't saved, but I had enough respect for the church and for my parents. I didn't go out and do a bunch of things that I couldn't undo. So I'm thankful for that. And so I graduated in 2004, and I got married in 2004 and moved to Indiana. And when I moved to Indiana, I had my first baby in 2006. And in 2006, I had just had a baby, and we had started attending the Indiana congregation pretty regularly, because when we very first got married, I thought I was going to keep coming here. So we drove back and forth for just a few months, but it just wasn't possible to drive 2 hours one way every Sunday. And then we felt the call to start going to Indiana. And so we started going there full time. And in 2007, I started, these are all approximate dates because I was trying to go back and rack my brain to figure out when I started doing what I was doing. In 2007, I started helping doing the food coordinating there because they had a church dinner once a month. And I started helping coordinate that and organize that. And then in 2009, somewhere around that time, I started directing the choir. And we started a choir, and it was just a few of us. I think there maybe was five or six of us. And then 2014, we started a youth group. And so as there's many things in life that I do, and I love to be busy. As a teenager here, I was extremely busy. I worked 5 days a week at a daytime job, and I went to school, college, four nights a week, and waitress two nights a week. So I like to be busy. So busy doesn't bother me. I'd rather stay busy than have an idle mind. And so when we decided, when we had went to lunch with our pastor and his wife, my husband and I, he had said something to us about, would you be interested in helping with the youth or doing something in that manner? And I, of course, had a 2 or 3 year old at the time and a little baby. And I was like, I'm good. I don't need anything else right now. I'm good. And we got in the car that night, and my husband said, on the way home, he said, well, if we don't do it, who's going to do it? He said, these youth need to have interaction and meet other young people and do things. And he said, somebody needs to take the burden. And all I could think about is all the different things I had been taught growing up, that if you don't do it, who's going to? And so we started praying, and then soon after started doing youth lessons and doing youth events. And so that's basically what I would like to talk about tonight, is the call to do youth. And as I've worked with them more, and we've got more youth in, and a lot of our youth right now are from the schools, and we have worked, now that we are doing that and having a pretty big response with that, our burden's getting heavier for the youth. And I thought about that. My heart goes out to the youth because it's rough. The world is rough. These people that come in, us church kids, we're so blessed. We don't know nothing about what these kids are dealing with on a daily basis. And I would say that when I first started this, doing the youth stuff, I was doing it more out of obligation because they needed somebody. But as I've grown to love our youth and grown to work with our youth, we have a broken society, broken youth, broken people, broken homes, and our youth need direction in a very bad way. And I was thinking about it today, and I was redoing a little bit of research, and on an average day, a teenager gets 5 calls per day, okay? That's not including text. On an average day, you get 5 calls per day. That's 7 days in a week equals, and then you times that by 52 weeks in the year, they get 1,820 calls, okay? An average teen today in America gets 80 texts per day. You times that by 7, times that by 52 weeks in a year, you get 29,120 texts per year. And I thought to myself, that's not including Snap. We know people are snapping all day. That's not including Instagram. This is just phone calls and texts that our youth are receiving. This is a different call. This is not no call you're going to receive on the phone. This is something where God burdens your heart for a specific area. And I thought as I was watching the teenagers and stuff this week throughout the messages that have been spoken and the songs that have been sung, a lot of times it's the teens that move first to the altar because they have a tender heart. And I tell our youth at home, I say, it's a common salvation. We're dealing with troubles just like you're dealing with troubles. It's just a different set of troubles. And I try to be very real with the youth. And I tell them things like, you know, this, we have been there. We are telling you this because we've been there. We want the very best for you. And as we work with more of school kids or kids that are coming from work and different things that we're dealing with on our level, it's an eye-opener. It's an eye-opener to know that we today, Church of God youth, are extremely blessed and we know nothing about what the world is going through. And I was thinking, when I was looking at the board up here, I was thinking of all the many duties that they need and that we need in the Church of God. And I saw up here that there was a bathroom cleaner. And I have to say that I became a PTS by the time I was 12. Does anybody know what a PTS is? Anybody? You guys don't have any guesses? Professional toilet scrubber. That is right. Because I worked in the new dorm with my mother every camp meeting from the time I could pretty much pick up a toilet bowl scrubber until the time I finally got old enough to work in the dining hall. And the first part of my lesson I thought to myself is, I thought about saying, be faithful in the little things. Because there's not many things grosser than working in a bathroom at camp meeting. Just saying, okay? And we did it. Every service, speakers were on, mom had the speakers turned up, cranked up, and we were cleaning toilets and showers. Yeah, I agree with you. So yeah, not fun. But she taught us just to keep being faithful in them little things. Clean them with a good attitude. When people came in, don't be so grudgy about, oh, I gotta wait, throw it. I mean, they're gross. But just, you can wash your hands when you're done, right? And I'm just thankful that that's where it starts. It starts with having a willing attitude to start in the little things. And if you're above the toilets, then you may not get called to do something bigger because God's got to see you be faithful in those small things. And I thought to myself as I was getting ready to come to church the other day, and I was walking out, and I saw the ladies walking in to clean the bathrooms, and they were bringing their kids with them, and I was like, oh, I feel for those kids. I was a kid. I did that. But bringing them up in that, and you guys are not too good for it. There's plenty of, you guys can scrub up your arms when you're done. If you guys are willing to work and do that kind of stuff, then God has bigger things in store for you, right? And I always tell, I love to have a good time. I love, my husband and I go out and play 2-on-2 with my kids. We beat them all the time, and it is good. We like to do that kind of stuff. But when it comes to souls and importance of youth, it's serious. And sometimes it just means just buckling down, and my kids will tell you. Sometimes we're right in the middle of something, and I'm like, oh, I gotta go, I have a thought, and I need to go write it down. Because if I don't write it down right then, I don't remember it 30 minutes later. But I'm just thankful. I tell them at home, I tell them everywhere you go, God, people are watching us. We are the light. These people are starving for somebody to pay attention to them. These youth out here are starving for attention. They're starving for somebody to care. Starving for somebody just to say, hey, would you like to come to church with me? Hey, would you like to go get something to eat with me? And we have perfect examples in our youth group of people who have came from the world and have really changed their life completely. And it's been very encouraging to us. And I'm not a big, super long speaker, so I'm almost done. But I want my main concern to speak with the youth about is being faithful in the little things. When you see something that needs done, just jump in there and do it. It might not be leading songs. It might not be leading the choir. It might not be the big things. But it could just be coming and pulling weeds for just a couple hours a night. But this ground has tons of weeds. I'm good. I can't keep up with my own weeds. These grounds, they need helpers. They need people who will just come and say, hey, I got an hour tonight. What can I do for you? And if you're faithful in those little things, God has big... They have so many positions here that probably need work. And if you're faithful in those little things, God's got big things for you, right? And I looked around. I was going to bring... each person, I was going to bring these little squeegees. Like, I looked around. I found them online, but I couldn't get them here on time. Of little toilets. Because I thought it would be good for you just to remember a toilet. Start with the toilets. I know for 100% fact they probably did not have enough workers this camp meeting, right? Because I saw several moms out there dragging their kids, doing several bathrooms. Like one mom doing several bathrooms. Start in the little things. Be available. It takes like an hour, if that. You know, go and do your best at whatever you're doing. And as I will say, as our youth group has begun to get bigger, and then we've lost a few with some marriage and stuff, it's been a challenge. We have a whole new group of 13 coming in, and it's been fun, but it's kind of like starting all back over. You got to start the basics, right? And you guys all know, most of you guys all here have been raised in the church, and you know that the work that the youth and your youth leaders do here, it's a big work. They could probably just use a phone call or a text saying, hey, I'm willing to help, right? Go ahead and read for me. I have, Adam does a lot of my reading at home because he's nice and expressive. So Colossians 3:23, he's going to read that nice and loud for us.
Colossians 3:23.
Yeah, real loud.
Whatsoever ye do.
Oh, louder than that.
Whatsoever ye do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men.
That's right. It says do it with all your heart, right? Like we said in the services earlier, if you come in here and you give a little bit, it's easier to get a little bit back, right? You guys all know in friendships, you have like that one friend that never calls you, and then they say, that friend works both ways. And you're like, yeah, you never call me. Right? Well, it's the same way here, same way spiritually. When we come into church, put your heart into it. Don't just sit there and say, I didn't feel anything tonight. Well, put a little bit of strength into it. Pray for the service. When you're sitting there, raise your hand. Show that you agree, right? Yeah. Or raise your hands. Yeah, that's fine. Whatever, put your heart into it. And that's what my goal is today, is to make sure you guys all understand that the little things matter too. The little things are just as important as the big things. And when I say that there's a lot of positions, there's more positions than are even here. There's more positions that are on this page. There's positions that you guys probably don't think of that need somebody. We need prayers. We need prayer people who will take things to God in prayer and who will carry a burden. We need people that are burden bearers, right? And I forgot to add one to that, and I don't want to forget this one. In 2020, I started staying in the girls' dorm. That's not really a calling. But that was a phone call, though, from Sister Sherry Polston, who said, can you do this? Now that is, I'm telling you right now, you got to have a burden for that. Pray for that. Sister Presley's going to need relief at some point in her life, right? She's going to need somebody to take that burden. So pray for a burden. Pray for somebody, God, to give you a burden for something, right? Because once you get that burden, nobody can just say, okay, you don't have that burden anymore. Keep working on that burden. Keep praying and asking, seeking, right? Last but not least, I would like to say that when we when we pray and ask God for certain things in our life, sometimes it's not always the way we think it's going to happen, right? And I was thinking of this lesson today. I was thinking, as youth, all of us youth here, I'm sure in your mind you have an idea of what position or what hat you want to wear or what something you would like to do. It doesn't mean if you don't get it right away or don't get asked to do it, doesn't mean it's not ever going to happen. Sometimes you just have to pray and work towards it. And sometimes that person just needs a helper. It's always nice to have somebody say, can I help you do this or help you do that? And you may end up working your way into that position when that other person's done, right? And sometimes I think as youth, we have a young mind, we haven't developed maturity all the way. So we think, I didn't get asked to do that, and that's what I'm praying for. So you just kind of give up. Don't give up asking for it. Just keep going. He knows the desires of our hearts, right? The Bible says he knows how we feel. He knows all the desires we have. He knows everything about us. So keep working towards that goal, right? Okay. So be faithful in those little things. All right? All right.
Thank you, Sister Rebecca. We appreciate that tonight. You know, as I was thinking about Brother Borders preaching on discipleship this week, part of being disciples of Christ is getting busy in the work, right? Because if you read in the Gospels, Jesus sent his disciples out to do the work, to witness, to preach, to heal, to do those things. Now, a lot of times you don't read about what's going on in the background. Maybe they, you know, there are accounts where they would go buy food. He'd send them off to buy food for the multitudes and those sorts of things. But the point being is there is a work for every one of us to do. And God has done so much for us. God has done so much for us. What are we doing in return? You know, as I was telling Brother Barrick and back here, I said, you know, she was talking about one way. I said, yeah, there's people that, you know, I said, they name streets after you. What's that? One way. Why? We keep taking and taking and taking, but we never give back, right? And part of discipleship is giving ourselves to the Lord, right? Giving ourselves to the Lord to do whatever God would want us to do. But, you know, I was thinking throughout this week, and even in June, there are some commonalities in every single message and every single thought that was brought forth. What are those, just real quick, what are some of those commonalities? Somebody tell me. Sister Maddie. Be faithful in the little things. That seems to come up over and over and over again. So has everybody got the message? Huh? Everybody got the message? What else? What are some other commonalities, Brother Lucas?
Salvation
is the most important thing. If we want to get involved in the work of God, we've got to have the mind of God, right? We've got to have the mind of God. In order to have the mind of God, we've got to be saved. Brother Mitchell.
Smaller callings, like helping prepare for larger callings.
Absolutely. So, the smaller callings help us prepare for the larger callings. All right? Brother Jacob. Do it with all your heart. Put your whole heart into it. What else? Sister Aubrey. Okay, you're going to have to speak up. I caught a few words.
If you put God first, he'll help you and the steps leading up to your call.
Absolutely. Putting God first. Putting God first, he'll help you with all these other steps that come along with that. What else? Anybody else? I'm sorry. Oh, Sister Savannah, I'm sorry.
Have a burden and pray for it.
So we've heard, those are just a few, but we've heard a common theme, and those are the big ones, right? Those are the big ones. And so I'm a teacher. I like reviewing a little bit, all right? Just to kind of reinforce the point. But those are the things if we want to be called, in order for us to prepare for that call, those are the things that we must do. And so I'm thankful for tonight for all of our speakers that have come in for the last few camp meetings to talk about preparing for that call and their call. Because when you work for the Lord, and especially, again, whatever it is, cleaning toilets, cleaning restrooms, working on the grounds, preaching, teaching, whatever it is, it's call. It's call. And I tell you what, if you don't have a burden for it, I want you to think about this. If you don't have a burden for it, I tell you what, it becomes a drudgery really, really quickly. And so we need to pray for a burden. I want you to think about pastors. Sometimes pastors, when they get up and preach, they don't get too many amens. Sometimes, you know, it's just like being a parent. It's kind of a thankless job. It's a thankless job. Sometimes you might hear all the criticism, but you don't hear much thanks in those callings. And so you have to have a burden for it. Why? Because you need God to give you the strength, and you need God to give you the help for it.